Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and the Keystone Sports app. If you don't have the app, what are you waiting for? It's time to download it. Go to your app store, search Keystone Sports, download it. I am Jim Galante. I am sitting in for Dustin. Across the desk from me is Andy Shea, sitting in for Greg Pickle. Andy, you ready to talk Penn State football for the next hour?
Let's do it. Big Ten Media Days are in the rearview mirror.
Yes.
And just over. Monday and Tuesday, they took place in Chicago. Outstanding 2 days for the Big Ten Conference, I might add.
And that's going to be the dominant theme in our show today. In fact, you and I in Q1 News and Notes, we will be talking about a recruit, but we'll also delve back into Big Ten Media. Then we will have, from on-site in Chicago, Mr. Greg Pickle for quarter number two, the great one. So don't worry, you're not going to miss him on the whole show. Quarter number three, our old friend Todd Sadowski from Fox 43 is going to join us.
Good to catch up with Todd.
It will be. I always enjoy his take. He's also going to be coming to us from Chicago. And then finally in quarter number four, we're going to finally break up the Big Ten media talk. Earlier this week, you and I had our discussion on how to fix college football, what needs changing.
Some little tweaks and things that we thought. Yours was more pet peeve centered. Mine was more actionable, shall we say.
Wait a minute. I think you're trivializing what I want to take care of.
We both agreed that the targeting and CTE stuff is... And the targeting rule is the number one thing that I think college football needs to sort of...
They should do something about that.
Tweak a little bit. I don't think they should change it. I think they need to tweak it.
But today we're going to change the theme a little bit. We're going to talk about what we like about college football, why we think it's the greatest sport there is. So stick with us for that on quarter number four. But let's start quarter number one, news with... Another four-star recruit, right, Andy?
It sounds like a broken record today. Correct me if I'm wrong. Penn State fans out there, you know, height, weight, school, commitment, 18 class, 19 class, generally speaking, four-star, five-star position, enter it, whatever. That's more the norm than the exception for Penn State. I mean, obviously when James Franklin started with the Nittany Lions, it was kind of a 3-4. You heard more 3-4s. Now, if you hear it, now when they get a 3-star, you're like, oh, that must be a 3-star for a reason. Do you know what I mean? Like the expectation of what Penn State gets as a recruit these days when somebody commits, the expectation is they're generally going to be 4-stars or 4/5-stars.
Exactly. And there's no doubt. The numbers prove you out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But just saying the expectation now is like, you're like, oh, yeah, another 4-star.
And we're going to talk about Worley in a second, but you opened up something else when you mentioned when it is a 3-star, you're a little surprised, but tell me if I'm wrong here. I get the feeling anymore as Penn State fans, when you see a 3-star, you don't shrug and say, gee, why did they get a 3-star? You say, Coach Franklin and his staff must see something in this guy that others don't. And as often as not, that 3-star ends up a 4-star.
So the star rating is a little bit flawed because it paints pictures with a broad brush, right? Mm-hmm. And you could say that in the 4/5-star category as well. Like the 3-star kids, the ones that are 3-stars that James Franklin has recruited in say the 19-18 and maybe the tail end of the 17 class, they were almost like role players in a specific need. In other words, they were 3-stars because they lacked something, but James Franklin and Penn State were recruiting him because in what they wanted them to do, they have potential to be 4/5-star and contributing players with some development. And that's the difference between they're not taking what they can get, they're taking what they need in those players. That's a big difference in my mind.
And what they want. So they're taking the 3-star for what he's capable of doing, not just saying, well, we have to settle for him despite
correct.
What
they're
he
not settling for much, but I mean, in terms of what they vision that player being as a college football player, their weaknesses are as a general star rating across the board are general, in my opinion, they get hidden by the way they utilize them. You know what I mean? Yes. I mean, Trace is not a NFL style quarterback and was a 3-star recruit as a quarterback. But the role that he puts him in is Koa Farmer was not a 4-star linebacker recruit. He's turned into a good role playing, efficient, you know, linebacker. It took some time, but they figured out how to do it. So anyway.
One last thought. I think Trace McSorley is the poster child for the star, 3-star.
Yeah.
And when he was first brought to Penn State, I asked our buddy Ross Tucker, you know, he's a 3-star. Why isn't he a 4-star? What's the difference? And Ross held his thumb and index finger about 2 or 3 inches apart and said, that's the difference, meaning right. His height. If he were 2 or 3 inches taller, he'd probably be a 4-star.
See, so. I thought he would. Yeah, the height, weight, and all that, the measurables matter. I thought he was a 3-star because I couldn't picture where he was on a college football field. I could see him in 3 different positions on a field. And sometimes when you can't figure out exactly where you fit and you're not as uber talented as some of the other 4- and 5-star kids, then that's going to hurt your star rating as well. I couldn't see where Koa Farmer fit. I said the same thing about Nate Stupar. If you want to go back Penn State fans, watching him at State High, I was like, I love the kid. I put him on the All-State team. He was that good of a high school player. I had no freaking idea where he was going to play in college.
And that's we've really digressed into right. The star rating. Let's get back on topic. You've watched Salim Worley's tape.
Yeah,
give me the scouting report.
He's a legitimate 4-star kid in terms of his. First of all, he's huge. 6'3", 320 pounds. I think he's got a little chewed bubble gum on him that they need to kind of work around.
Explain the chewed bubble gum.
That means he's probably carrying too much weight for his frame, but it doesn't affect his. It doesn't hide his footwork and his impact as an offensive lineman. It's just he's just dragging too much in the U-Haul behind him at times. He doesn't get down the field exceptionally quick. I can't picture him watching his high school tape as an efficient college pulling guard right now. I see the footwork in close range battles, but I can't see him, you know, moving down the field in the second level and third level and making impact on those levels quite yet, but that's because he's 320 pounds and he doesn't have to because he's in high school and he's exceptionally strong. I didn't see him pass block as much as I would have liked on his film. I saw him run block very, very well, and I think Penn State's leaning towards their guys in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call them guys in the middle because they're looking. They have swing guys that are gate guys. They could go outside at right tackle. They could be a guard inside, et cetera, et cetera. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But I see this guy as a pure inside guy, and he's very powerful on the inside, but he's not exceptionally mobile and versatile yet. And I think the fact that, in my opinion, he's carrying 10 to 15 pounds of the wrong weight. Like Connor McGovern's 331 pounds now, right? Or 326 or 330. That's a little different, 330 than 326. And this kid's – and Worley's actually more athletic inherently than McGovern is.
Hmm. Well, and again, the other difference is McGovern's been in the strength and conditioning program for
– good get for Penn State, by the way. Second guard in the class, fills out the inside of the interior offensive line. I think he could possibly at 310 pounds or 305 be a right tackle possibility. I'd like to see him pass block more, but your right tackle has got to hold an edge and has got to be able to move upfield and get guys, right?
Yes.
In a run scenario in Penn State's offense, and I think he has the capacity to do that, but he's more of an inside guy. We'll get Ross to tell us exactly. Ross is the offensive line expert.
My one last point on this is as we started to get down the path of, another 4-star, it has become routine at Penn State.
Yep.
So that's a good thing. By the way, you are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Let's talk real quickly, Andy, about James Franklin at Big Ten Media Day. I know we're going to talk to Greg and Todd, and we're going to get their thoughts. But before we get there, I want to get your general reaction. No games are won or lost in Big Ten Media Day.
Right.
But it's kind of the battle of the coaches. How do they appear? How do they represent the school?
Right.
How do they come across? Your take on James Franklin.
on James Franklin specifically, I found it interesting to watch him. He's significantly more comfortable in his own Penn State skin right now. He was never an uncomfortable leader of this program. Do you know what I mean? It never was too big of a job for him. Now it just feels like he's more comfortable in his own skin. And to me, the way he unveiled what he was going to talk about, because James isn't going to change, he's still very calculated. He chooses his words very carefully. I thought he was a little revealing in some of his, you know, the way he talked about what he viewed as weaknesses. He didn't try and sort of mask them or hide them a little bit. And ultimately, my opinion of him at the 2018, watching him yesterday, or excuse me, on Monday, was he looked more like a statesman than a salesman. And the flip side of that was I also got a little hint of a cat in the hen house. Like, he's being like, we have these weaknesses. But he also kind of was, his body language and his sort of, you know, his countenance was telling me, yeah, but I ain't worried about it, really.
There was an air of confidence.
Not necessarily arrogance or confidence, just a little, I'm being transparent, saying these are our problems. I'm not going to say but I'm going to kind of say but. Well, and I thought it was very interesting, but I thought he was more of a statesman. He was very, very strong and he always is, but it just felt more like he doesn't have to push Penn State to the top of the heap. He's been pushing the rock up the hill, right? At every Big Ten Media Days, pushing, selling. A little bit less last year because Saquon Barkley and everybody knew about him. But it didn't feel like he was pushing the rock up there anymore. He felt like he was not at the top of the mountain, but he didn't have to push it hard. And he shifted into a very different mode. And I was very impressed by the way he handled himself.
Well, I think statesmanlike is a good description. There was one other thing that struck me, and maybe this is as a longtime fan who's still conditioned to Joe Paterno's ways, which was he could have returning All-American, and he'll downplay that player and says, oh, he's got to fight for his position. And then he'll have another position where, you know, it'll be a first-year starter, and you're really leery. But Joe would talk him up as if he's the All-American.
Yeah.
So you almost, down was up, up was down, white was black was white with Joe. But I thought James was very candid. The things that we've been about, you know, the defensive tackle position, middle linebacker. But anyway, we'll have to put a wrap on quarter number one. Stick with us. Quarter number two, we're going to have the great Greg Pickle.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.